It's funny how much money I have to raise. How much money I have to raise to put my literature in someone's mailbox. Yet some people in this room did it illegally without spending a dime. And that's okay. And so, you know, you talk about, you know, it's funny how I had to deal with the city attorney over the weekend about campaign finance laws, which I know all about. You know, so I have money from a developer when I ran for mayor. I took money from the guy that's filming right there. I took money from Northwestern Mutual Life, his employer.
No, they didn't.
Oh, yes, they did.
No, they
didn't. Oh, yes, they did. They sent me a nice campaign contribution.
Should we talk about your illegal...
Where do you...
Point of order?
Yeah.
Point of order,
he talked to me.
Point of order on both of you. Calm down.
So let's talk about that. Sheriff's Association, Firefighters Association, developers not in this room, former elected officials, former mayors, current elected officials, bar owners, restaurants, those are all people over the years that contribute. Not because I'm going to do something for them, because they look at your body of work. All the people in the Stonehenge area, they could have all cut me checks. And they would not like my vote at the end of the day, because that doesn't matter. It's about doing the right thing. So people can try to twist things around all they want. All they want. And that's fine. That's fine. People are out there and shake their head. That's great. But this decision that I'm going to make and support is something that started well before Mike Zimmerman ever came to town and offered the rock-up, because it's something we were talking about as a community of what we were having lacking. And you just happen to have someone that came and gave us our first real destination. Our first destination where actually people have something to do. Because everybody has to leave this community to spend their money. So, you know, sorry if I'm not going to make you happy. Didn't expect to. Understand where you're coming from. But, you know, 36,000 people. 36,000 people is what we represent as a whole. When you make decisions, you have to look at the whole. So, who's next?
Thank you. Well, I've spent several hours weighing the pros and cons of this proposal. I did sit through the entire Plan Commission hearing a couple weeks ago, and of course tonight, so I have been made abundantly clear of the objections of those who are opposed to the Baseball Commons proposal. But there are many layers to this proposal, and there are questions which remain unanswered. I think we're all in that same boat, that we want more answers. But it is clear that certain steps must be taken before the costs and benefits of this project can be determined. We, as Steve mentioned, we are a city of 36,000, and each one of us represents one-sixth of that population. And it seems to me that most, if not all of us, were elected with the goal of achieving economic development for the city of Franklin. So, each proposal, even like the Myers project that is brought before us, has complex issues. And what we are doing tonight is just one step in the vetting process. We are still not making any commitment from the city, but we need to find out where we're going. If we vote to reject these two amendments tonight, then we are nipping this, obviously, as you would prefer, nipping it in the bud. But when the rest of us are left to say, what if? And we have a lot of constituents who are not here tonight. We're going to be asking, what if? Why didn't you? So,
please, folks.
Folks, please, please, please.
As I said, you've made your opinions very clear. I put a lot of value on what our planning department staff has done. They put a lot of effort into attaching a lot of stipulations that the developers must meet. And hate to do this, but our economic developer on the spot, but he has been brought on board the past year to look at the long-range prospects for Franklin, and I would like to see if he would offer a little opinion on how he feels about where we're going with this proposal.
Sure. As I've started to research the project and look at the general Area A around 76th and Rawson, there's been extensive preliminary due diligence that was done prior to the Rock Development proposal that looked at opportunities to create mixed-use development in this area. I'm struck how similar in characteristics many of the portions of this project are, including the areas of land on the old DOT land along the old Crystal Ridge Drive and the section south of Rawson. When I run through and get a baseline look at economics attached to it, particularly the lands, the DOT lands, that's newly taxable lands that are now on the Franklin tax rolls because they've been purchased in the private sector. When you start to add the density of development that's proposed as part of this project, it's significant opportunity for revenue back into the city that otherwise wouldn't be created. When you look at the lands south of Rawson, you start to create some high level of taxable value per acre when the density is created there. When I looked at the larger 76 in Rawson area as part of ongoing retail recruitment efforts that were started before I got here, what I saw was a lack of residential density that was in that area. It was a frequent issue that came up. The inclusion of the multifamily components of this create the multifamily, the density, the scale that's required to help infuse development. Oftentimes when you see a project like this, you end up attracting the type of retail that's strongly desired within a community. You have to look at a comprehensive development, and I think that's what's proposed here. So to me, if Franklin wants to attract the type of retail that I understood from reading previous reports, looking at more of that sort of locally owned, locally flavored, the smaller scale franchise as opposed to the national brand franchises, you've got to look at comprehensive development of some scale. And so I think many of those components contribute to what I understand that Franklin's looking for. I think what will be key for us as a community is thinking about if the development is to move forward, what are the key connectivity points directly from the proposed development area east to 76 and Rawson, and trying to create and capitalize on the development that occurs as part of this project, as well as those lands south and east of Loomis to the open areas of development. So when I put those components together, I think there's significant value. I still have questions remaining about the indoor facility and the stadium facility, but I think those are questions that get answered over time. And as we continue to get more details about the development project, better understand both the tenants within those spaces and the potential that they have and the reassurance that comes back to the city in securing those assets. So I think those are components that I'm still interested in learning more about. And if this is to move forward, I suspect that we'll be getting more details about the financial components of the project. We've already gotten authority from the council to do independent financial analysis to look at sort of market components and market feasibility for the project. My sense of the market from having toured developments in the area, worked on other projects elsewhere throughout the country, is that I think there's something here. Our independent market analysis consultant will help us evaluate that. And when we'll then use their input to look at the TIF components. I think when we get deeper into the TIF conversation and exploration that was started as part of the Area A analysis prior to my time here, I think that there will be some clarity that's brought to the project. We'll have a good opportunity to look at the economics attached to it before making a significant financial decision. Just to clarify some things around TIF, There are a couple of different models for TIFs to move forward in an area like this. And I think that those will be important decisions for the council to evaluate. But that likely comes after any potential zoning conversations. Does that answer your question?
That's a pretty good analysis. Okay. The other thing I wanted to add, now the property that I believe Mr. Zimmerman did purchase, the strip that is designated for potential multi-use.
Yeah.
Now that would be, that would no longer be county property, therefore whatever multi-purpose goes in there would generate tax revenue for city. It's not, that would not, because it's not part of a county property.
That's correct. Yeah, the land that they purchased is actually...
Wait a minute. So you're saying county.
State property.
Yes, as it's proposed, the only two facilities that are not on taxable land are the proposed indoor facility and the stadium itself. The land immediately to the east of it, north of Ross and along Loomis, is all newly taxable land. It's now taxable because it's in private hands. I spoke to our assessor's office about it recently. So any new... so the land itself is taxable now. Any structures that are placed with on that land would be taxable as well.
That land is a dump site, you know.
Well, let me assure everybody. Everybody at the front of this room is well aware of all of the natural conditions that exist in this area. Believe us, we do know. Any other comments from the common council? Questions? The applicant has asked for the suture.
Just a couple of procedural points. With regard to the early statements, with regard to Alderman Taylor's conflict of interest, I was at the Plan Commission public hearing and took note of those statements. I did do the legal research in that regard, and I did contact Alderman Taylor and ask for his statement of the facts without giving him any conclusions. I did, prior there, to review the campaign finance reports of the City of Franklin, as well as on the Milwaukee County website, and ultimately came to a conclusion as to the boiling down, if you will, of primary aspect of an issue, and that would be Wisconsin Statute Section 19.59 sub 1 sub BR, and ultimately the short highlighted version of that is, no local public official may give or offer to give his vote or influence with respect to any proposed or pending matter in consideration of or upon condition that any other person make a political contribution. I paraphrased that last phrase, but that's what it says. Or provide some service or anything of value to a candidate or any person making a communication referring to a clearly identified local public official. In any event, I reviewed it, asked him for his statement as to the facts, did not hear anything different than I heard from others, other than that there was no quid pro quo, essentially what he said here today. I did contact the Government Accountability Board and presented the facts, which included the campaign financing and the fact that contributions from, quote, or entitled The Rock, or from someone with a name Zimmerman, if not more, added up to the most contributions of any other group or person. And I understand that those were made back in, on or about February 2014, as well as December 2013. There have not been contributions since. The alderperson informed me that that was during a run for mayor. I presented those facts. I did inquire with regard to campaign fundraising events at the Rock Sports Complex. I was informed that there was one on or about January 2014 during the run for mayor. And I was informed that there was one this year on March 10th, that those were cash bar open to the public events, and that it was pursuant to the standard policy of the Umbrella Bar restaurant and not treated any differently than any other person interested in doing an event on an available calendar day. With regard to the ability to do that and the matters involved. I presented that as well as the fact of the March 17th email, which was sent to plan commissioners, presented all that to the longtime Ethics Division Administrator, Attorney Jonathan Becker. I cited the statute. His basic immediate conclusion was that statute is not violated. That's the nature of the way it's written. That's the law in Wisconsin. And I told him I reached the conclusion that there was no legal conflict that I found based upon all of these facts I just recited. Right to abstain is always within an elected official, but in terms of compelling that to occur, I saw nothing there and I did not see a violation of statute. I also referenced to him that I reviewed the Wisconsin or the Government Accountability Board Ethics Board opinions, as well as the 2015-16 Wisconsin Legislator Briefing Book, a state version of that statute that I paraphrased to you for local government officials, is also separately in a different section of the statutes applicable to state legislators. Government Accountability Board Ethics Division refers to it in short form as pay to play, and the administrator of that division said he found no violation. So that's with regard to that one. I also responded to a complaint with regard to member Haley on the Plan Commission, who's also employed by Milwaukee County. I heard earlier development team for The Rock. That's not a private sector member of any kind of work on this. It's working as an employee of Milwaukee County. And I responded in writing as to, again, at a separate day and time communication with Attorney Becker and Madison. And through the years, whenever there were different levels of governmental jobs absent, some positions existing where a man or woman could be his or her own boss or something akin thereto, there is no conflict of interest, and the state code of ethics for elected or for local officials is not applicable to different levels of government. So I concluded and was concurred by the ethics board administrator that there was no violation there. Those two things being said, I would remind the common council that with regard to a vote on comprehensive master plan amendment that under the Wisconsin statutes that requires the majority of the members elect, which would require four votes.
Alderman Mayor.
More affirmative.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't know if it's a good thing to talk after the city attorney or not. Good evening, everybody. This is a no-win situation. I support development. This is an innovative project that brings together real retail, housing, and recreation to build community in a new way and make Franklin a destination stop. However, this project is still in the visionary stage. We still need to explore all the parts that make up this project, such as financing, TIF districts, paid in lieu taxes. We still need to talk about Milwaukee County approvals. We still need DNR approvals. We still have the environmental issues. We have safety issues. We have traffic issues. We talk about the roads and expansions. We still have questions there. And still other unanswered questions. The most concern tonight, though, is in regards, it seems like, rezoning the R3 estate single-family dwellings to the high-end apartments. I believe that we may be putting the cart before the horse on this. There's still more to do before we can be sure that this would be in the best interest of our city. And as has been stated, if one of the parts fails, it could all fail. But the zoning would remain. This project is like a puzzle. We have some of the pieces that work, some of the pieces that don't quite fit, and some pieces are still missing. As I am not against development, it is my hope that the city, developer, and residents will be able to continue to work together on this project. I'm in a different situation tonight than my colleagues here. This American representative government that we have means that we represent those people that elect us. And we all try to find out what the people in our district think, and that's how we formulate our votes. There's a lot of people in my district, in District 2, in favor of this. But as was seen tonight, it's abundantly clear there's a lot of people in District 2 that are not in favor of this. And 100% of the Stonehenge people and the Windham Hills people are in my district, many of those on Rawson. So many of you that spoke tonight not in favor of this are in my district, and I represent you. If I didn't vote as you want me to vote, I wouldn't be doing my job.
Okay, the applicant has asked.
Thank you. I just had to clarify something that a while ago, and Mayor, this isn't, just so everyone knows, this is not meant at saying that the mayor was, you know, not being correct on something, but when someone spoke about Trader Joe's and their interest in Franklin, and that's right, it was 3 hours ago. I thought that was important because I know there's been a lot of support for the Trader Joe's. So I just want you to know that I was appointed to Economic Development Commission, we hired a retail company called Buxton. We didn't have an Economic Development Director at that time. In the process of working with the Buxton, this retail recruitment, which was targeted for pulling retail and development into 76 and Rawson area, I was reaching out and making phone calls, and one of my phone calls was to Mr. O'Malley's office to ask him what would he have planned for the Century Store. And I asked him about Trader Joe's because I had people emailing me that. And they said they did reach out to Trader Joe's, but because there wasn't enough activity up at that area that they couldn't come there. So that's kind of your answer about the Trader Joe's issue. The Stonehenge number one concern is the rezoning for residential, is what I heard, and for the Hawthorne. The number one issue seems to be the wells. If the development comes in and the water is extended, I would think that would be a wise thing to do, to take the people off the well water and give them city water. Well, if you're worried about contamination...
Wait a minute, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry. Please, ma'am, it's getting late. We're all getting grumpy. You know, let's not get grumpy. Let's continue to be neighbors and friends. This is an idea. Got to get fleshed out. You know.
Let's get out of the way quick.
Yeah. Anyone else? Alderman Dandridge.
Thank you, Mayor. Many of you know that I chaired the plan meeting on the 17th.
Folks.
And on the 17th, we received many emails, one from an Ann Devine. Ann Devine accusing me of backroom politics. And she wrote, in on the second paragraph. Also, Mr. D'Andrea, do you really think that we are so stupid to believe that was your mom was calling from the hospital at 10 p.m.? I didn't expect my mom to be calling at 10 p.m. because I got two calls from my brother at about 8:30. And so I recessed the meeting so I could make a call, and I found out that I was planning on going up the following day to see her, but she had passed away. Now, Ms. Devine, as intelligent as an individual she is, she wrote this letter on March 29th, 12 days after she had passed away. And if anybody would have checked legacy, they would have seen that there was an obituary for Helga D'Andrea. So this is how poorly people are acting in regards to this polarizing subject. There was no backroom politics. I did not make a phone call to Mr. Olson or Mr. Zimmerman. Mr. Zimmerman will even tell you that I have not even spoke to him directly until yesterday. So you can believe everything you want, the innuendos, the slander, everything. It comes down to really looking at all the facts. Me and the Common Council putting faith in our employees to properly vet this opportunity that is coming to us. There are 39 conditions. Five of them have been somewhat addressed. There are a lot of concerns here that we have as a council. We are going to make sure that the DNR answers are addressed. We are going to make sure that everything else that is on here, the conditions, are properly vetted. We are deeply concerned as well for all of you, but you represent 2% of the whole community. We've got another 98% of the community that we've got to also address and answer to. And there's a lot of people that are in support of this project, especially coming from my district. Yes, there are a few that are against, but our decisions today are solely to look at the zoning. There are so many other issues that have to come back to the Common Council on every item. Items that the development team may not like or want us to all come back to the council, but we're making sure that they do come back to the council. So when we've had a chance, and I've had weeks now from the 17th to go through this over and over and over again, I am prepared to make a decision on this to move forward. Thank you.
By the way, just so everybody's clear, all of the aldermen received electronic versions of the documents the same time the Plan Commission did, so it's not like they got them on Friday, just so you know. Mr. Zimmerman, you asked for a few minutes, which is, so everybody doesn't get into this tizzy, it's common for the applicant to have their say.
We'll keep it brief. I'm actually going to turn it over to my partner Blair, because it was sort of an awful thing to experience. But first off, Steve, congratulations on your acquittal. I didn't realize that I was under investigation as well. But just to remind everybody of the context, so I think we lose context and timelines. The first thing I'll say is, Steve, before that call, I was recruited by Grafe. I sat over at Pantheon and had a really nice breakfast with the gentleman from Grafe, who said he was hired by you guys to look at three different areas, one of which was Area A, and really wanted me to consider developing it. And he said our study is essentially moving towards this area being commercial. It's going to be apartments. It's going to be a bunch of stuff. And we think that you're the guy that can get that done. I said, I know I got the last go-around was sort of abusive, so I got to think through that. Did that, and then I called Steve and said, we're going to make another run at this. But I think it's important. This is not, everybody talks about Zimmerman's project. This is, you know, that's not what this is. This is, I'd actually, if you guys could do me the favor and start to refer to it as Ballpark Commons, that'd be much better, better for my wife and my kids. You know, I go home every day thinking, who the hell's going to toilet paper my house? I mean, it's like the behavior here is just, it's kind of scary behavior. And that worries my wife. That's a real issue. But I didn't come up with this idea by myself. As a matter of fact, once the city signaled to us that they were serious about this, I started out and went out and recruited a team, you know, some of the best. And you guys met them, what was it, 2 months ago? You met Mick Hatch, the best real estate attorney. We got 4 offers to partner with different guys and or gals that did apartments and mixed use stuff. So we picked Blair because we didn't believe that national retail works. We believe that localized retail works. So Blair is not a spokesperson for this project. He's been called that. He's actually a partner. He's an equity partner in this deal. We've got good plans. There's a number of great questions today. We've got those same questions. But what we did is we put together a process that started with the MOU and said, let's lay out a process, a logical process that informs the citizens, that sets up transparency, that gets buy-in. And I want Blair, if you don't mind, to maybe talk a little bit about what that process is, because I think the questions that were asked, we've got the same questions. We want to sort of serve that up to you guys. But I don't envy the position you guys are in. Do not. This is going to be a tough one. I wish you would have waited until we could speak to cast a vote. So hopefully, as you listen, maybe you could be open to for at least 2 more minutes. Dan, I appreciate that. So with that, why don't you take over and kind of talk about the process?
Blair Williams, 2022 East North Avenue, President of Ware Properties. I'm going to start with a question to both Aaron and Joel. What happens if we don't meet the requirements and conditions as established in the PDD as currently drafted?
Mr. Deep.
If the conditions are not met, the project does not proceed.
And if the project does not proceed, what happens with the zoning?
The zoning would still be there. If the Common Council approves the PDD amendment tonight, the zoning would be there.
Okay.
Whether the project proceeds or not, it would still be PDD 37.
And does the council have the ability to retract that zoning by a negotiated settlement with the developer? I mean, I understand what everybody's worried about here. Okay, I understand what everybody's worried about here. You're worried that if we go down the path here that you're going to end up with, apparently you're concerned about subsidized housing, and I'm astonished that you think that your housing would become HUD housing. But in any case, I appreciate that, but I want to make something very, very clear here. The questions that you have are the same questions we have, but why and how could we be expected to go through and design a stadium and do all of the testing only to be find out that we would never have been allowed to do any of it in the first place? I mean, it's not... The doctor used some examples of how it would be crazy if he did that in his practice. At the same time, I think it's crazy to do it the other way. And I understand your issues about the zoning, but what we're doing here right now is we are establishing the framework through which we can conduct all of the due diligence necessary to determine whether or not this development can happen the way that it's drawn here. We need the ability and the right to move forward in order to determine whether we can move forward. If the DNR doesn't allow this, it won't happen. We won't meet the condition. If we're going to have impact on groundwater, we won't meet the conditions because we won't get the DNR approvals. If we can't build, if we can't meet all 39 of those conditions, we won't have met the conditions. And this is not about trying to pull a fast one on you guys. You are asking for things that we cannot reasonably provide you at this point in the process. We need to be able to move forward in order to provide all of the assurances that you need as a part of this process. There's not backroom dealings. I told you the very first time I stood right here making this presentation that there are times when I will always be honest with you, and I will at times tell you things that you don't want to hear. I'll always try to work with you as well. But at the end of the day, for us to be able to provide them the answers that they need and you the answers that you need, we need to know that if we spend that time and that money and we make that investment,